Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
You can't have a great company without a great culture. You can't have a great culture without building a culture in the community.
Brady Industries broke ground at the East Park Industrial Park today.
A disbarred disability attorney will serve a 15-year prison sentence.
New employees for the city of Moorhead won't get the same health insurance benefits as current ones.
Road work is set to begin Monday in Boyd County.
A judge has sided with the Bevin administration in a case involving religion and foster care.
In sports, Moorhead State Baseball is kicking off their regional opener, facing off against Clemson.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Chance of thunderstorms before midnight tonight. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Hundreds of people gathered in East Park Industrial Park today for the groundbreaking of the new Brady Industries facility. The multi-million dollar project will offer hundreds of immediate construction jobs and 600 long-term jobs once the facility is operational. Brady CEO Craig Bouchard says the company invested an additional $3.4 million to acquire more of the Industrial Park property earlier this week.
The Life Center will have a daycare center, and it will be where we groom people to be healthy and happy while they're working their butts off for us. So right at the end down there is our training center, ACTC. How lucky are we?
Bouchard was joined by local elected officials, economic development boards, and Governor Matt Bevin. Bevin called the project the beginning of the resurgence of Eastern Kentucky.
Disbarred Eastern Kentucky disability attorney Eric Kahn has pled guilty to an escape charge and, through a deal, will serve a 15-year prison sentence. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, that would be on top of a 12-year sentence Kahn is serving separately regarding a massive effort to defraud the Social Security Administration. This would increase his sentence to 27 years. However, there is no parole in the federal court system, and inmates can shave 15% off their sentences for good conduct. If the arrangement goes through, Kahn would be serving a 23-year sentence instead. U.S. District Judge Danny Reeves still has to approve the agreement.
A Kentucky man convicted of trying to hire someone to kill two prosecutors and two ex-girlfriends has been sentenced to 30 years in prison. News outlets report 55-year-old William Sutton was sentenced Wednesday after being convicted of possession of firearms by a convicted felon and four counts of interstate murder for hire. In 2017, Sutton was incarcerated at the Whitley County Detention Center when he offered another inmate $40,000 to kill the victims. Evidence showed Sutton mailed a letter to a relative asking the person to provide the would-be hitman with one of his firearms. Assistant U.S. Attorney Samuel Dotson says Sutton had a history of violence towards his ex-girlfriends and had tried earlier to have them killed. Sutton must serve most of his sentence before being eligible for release.
130 employees at Pikeville Medical Center were laid off today. According to WYMT, CEO Donovan Blackburn confirmed 30 employees were either fired or voluntarily quit, while another 100 were laid off effective today. The majority of the employees held support positions at the hospital. A two-week severance package was offered to those laid off, including health benefits lasting through the rest of the month. Blackburn blamed the layoffs on financial issues the hospital is currently facing and estimates that with the layoffs, the hospital will be out of the red in 6 months.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to click it or ticket. Seatbelt use in Kentucky is 86.8%, below the national average of 90.1%. Half of those killed last year in motor vehicle crashes were not wearing a seatbelt. The Kentucky Department of Highway Safety reminds you to buckle up every trip, every time. It will save lives. Click it or ticket.
Changes to the benefits package for new employees could hurt the city of Moorhead's ability to recruit workers. The city council passed a resolution during a special meeting yesterday, which would decrease the city's contribution to health insurance for new hires. The city currently pays for 94% of the cost of insurance for employees and their families. If passed, the change will cover 100% of the cost for employees, but nothing for dependents. Moorhead Police Chief Derek Blevins says the change could hurt his ability to recruit new officers.
Usually they pay more on the hour, but generally our benefits have been better.
I see.
So that's usually the trade-off. Mm-hmm. And, I know we looked at it last year, I think. And generally everybody pays more per hour, $2 or $3 more an hour.
Council member Glenn Teager says the committee that explored options to save money in the face of increased health care costs thought changing the practice for new employees was the fairest way to proceed. Current employees will not be affected by the change.
Leasing Moorhead State University's Laughlin Health Building won't cost Moorhead, Rowan County, and the Moorhead Tourism Commission as much as it's been reported. That's the belief of City Mayor Jim Tom Trent. As its rental fee, MSU is reportedly asking the three entities to simply insure the facility and pay for its utilities. Trent says while the $35,000 for insurance is pretty well set, the $190,000 the university has spent on average over the past 3 years for Laughlin's electricity and its heating and cooling can be reduced.
There's some factors in there that of normal use by what the university does, we feel like that will be less, but we had to have a number to start with, so we based it on their last three. So if you put in $225,000 roughly, that's $75,000 projected per entity, tourism, city, and county. But we believe that we can significantly bring that down over the year.
Trent says officials are already talking about methods for doing that, such as installing LED lighting in the building. He adds the City, County, and Tourism Commission will only lease Laughlin until a new municipally owned rec center can be built. He hopes that will occur in the next 3 to 4 years.
The Rowan Fiscal Court is taking bids on a project to replace the roof on an old building on Moorhead's Courthouse Square that once served as the county's jail. The local historical society is refurbishing the 1930s-era structure. Its goal is to turn it into an art studio. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says replacing the building's flat roof will cost between $10,000 and $13,000. Blevins says the county wants to do what it can to help spruce up the historic facility, along with the nearby Rowan's Veterans Museum.
Those are just old block buildings, and they're just not very attractive, but of course the university would like to see them removed as well. They tried to work a deal with us, but the prevailing winds of the community said, no, we're going to keep it as it is, so that's what we're doing. And since they've decided on that, we've been trying to help them fix some of the major needs of the building.
The fiscal court has also agreed to pave the parking lot next to the Veterans Museum. Rowan County owns both buildings.
Work begins Monday on a $900,000 road project in Boyd County. Contractors hired by the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will add right and left-hand turn lanes to U.S. 23 at its intersection with 12th Street in Catlettsburg. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says while the project will be extensive, it shouldn't take long to finish it.
It shouldn't take but a few weeks. We're looking at a 34-day window here for the contractor to finish. So at most about 4 to 6 weeks, they'll be under construction out there with one-lane traffic.
Because of that situation, Blair says drivers going through the area should expect delays, plan accordingly, and use alternate routes if possible. The timeline for the project could change depending on potential weather delays.
The replacement of the Augusta River Park boat docks is underway. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
Augusta Mayor Wendell High has been working since last week with some volunteers to complete the boat dock project. According to the Ledger Independent, High says the docks were damaged by severe flooding in 2017, which washed them away. Since it was a flooding issue, the Kentucky League of Cities could not cover it. High is expecting to pay about $45,000 to repair the docks. A city council meeting was held in March to determine where the money should come from. City council is considering pulling $15,000 from the gas budget, $5,000 from the sidewalk project, and $20,000 from the contingency fund. High has thought about moving the docks to a new location altogether, but at the moment, moving them is not financially feasible. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
Construction has begun on a bridge in Letcher County after its collapse 3 months ago. WIMT reports the bridge connecting Perkins Branch to the rest of the county went down after a flood. Construction crews are now working to get the bridge torn down so they can replace it. New water lines are being installed that will replace the current ones traveling along the collapsed bridge. The new water line is expected to be in use in the next couple of days.
A bill getting Senate committee approval would require drug education for elementary, middle, and high school students in Kentucky. The bill is sponsored by Taylorsville Republican Representative Jim Tipton. Testifying on behalf of the measure were two students from Anderson County High School in Lawrenceburg. One of them was Kenzie Roberts, who pleads with lawmakers to pass the measure.
Please remember, whatever else you do to benefit students of all ages through education, there will be no greater act than helping save lives of youth in Kentucky by mandating that every student complete drug education in classrooms.
Robert says the students believe drug education, even at the elementary age, could reduce the number of adults who use.
A judge has sided with Governor Matt Bevin's administration over a case involving foster care and religion. Here's Haley Hansen.
The ACLU and Americans United sued the state, saying Kentucky was violating the Constitution by funding a child care provider operated by a religious organization. Former Governor Steve Beshear then signed a settlement that would have required monitoring foster children's religious exposure.
An incredible intrusion of people's rights, of people's privacy, and intended to allow the ACLU and this other group to scrub out anybody's exposure to anything religious.
A judge agreed with Governor Bevin, ruling that the settlement was illegal. Haley Hansen, News Radio 840 WHAS.
Andy Beshear and two other Eastern Kentucky lawmakers are working to pass legislation that would give Kentuckians more options as how they pay for their power bills. EKB News reports Beshear announced the pre-filing of legislation with the state representatives Angie Hatton and Chris Harris on Wednesday. The bill would hold utility companies more accountable for increases in customers' bills. Beshear says many families on fixed incomes have difficulty paying for the high rates utilities companies charge.
We're trying to mandate that they consider affordability, whether your viewers can actually afford the increase that they want, because if they can't, we should allow another company to compete who can provide energy at an affordable level.
The legislation failed to pass in the 2018 General Assembly. Beshear has been working with lawmakers to keep Kentucky power rates from increasing.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m., then a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 64, chance of precipitation is 30%. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers before 9 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 82. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 64. Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 81 and a chance of precipitation at 50%. Sunday night, a 20% chance of showers before midnight, partly cloudy with a low around 58. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 79 degrees in Ashland, 78 degrees in Lexington, 77 degrees here in Moorhead and in Flemingsburg and Winchester, and 73 degrees in Inez.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff wonders if what we lose when we use our machines is worth more than we get.
Have you adjusted the way you speak to accommodate a machine? Your quick answer might be, no, of course not. But think again, on the phone talking to a robot, getting Siri to fetch the right restaurant info, training your PC for speech recognition, whatever. We do change the way we talk to accommodate machines, and in an odd way, our machines may be influencing our speech patterns to make their jobs easier. That would be annoying enough, but when we compare how we have changed our behavior to adjust to other machines, it's just more of the same. We adjust how we sit, stand, walk, and converse to adjust to our omnipresent phone screens. We adapt our workspaces to conform to the demands of our machines instead of the opposite. We spend time looking for the remote when we could just as easily deign to touch the TV to make it work. We work for weeks to afford the smart systems that will allow us to use our phones to adjust the thermostat and lock our doors, and we spend untold billions each year to afford the systems designed, ostensibly, to release us from labor and for the speed, convenience, and luxury of the Internet. We sacrifice privacy, sell our information souls for next to nothing, and endure the slings and arrows of social media. But all of that may not be the worst feature of our current relationship with communicating machines. The most ominous feature of our adjustment and alignment with our machines is the pending loss of private speech and the rhetorical shift that adjustment requires. Private speech, remember that? Private speech is speech that no one hears but you and whomever you are with. In private speech, anything can be said or tested or spun or quoted, all without public consequences. Private speech is the ultimate experimental station, where one can trot out or even just quote someone else in an outrageous idea without fear of reprisal or ridicule, where one can test thoughts in the air to see how they fly or if they do. Private speech is experimental speech, a place where thoughts emerge and develop and mature. As Professor Hopper of Texas once noted, sometimes we do not know what we think until we say it. We need to be free to say what we want, whatever it might be, in a setting free of consequences. That setting is privacy, or rather it was. Enter the smart speakers and phones that are dotting homes and pockets by the millions. These devices constantly record private speech, archive it, and so it can be accessed to share with very little difficulty by law enforcement, by a plaintiff's attorneys, by federal government agencies, by employers, and by posterity. People have been prosecuted or otherwise persecuted for comments made in private. Their private comments were recorded. Later they went public and then became subject to all of the sanctions to which public speech is properly exposed. The standards for private speech are different than those for public speech. But once private speech goes public, that does not matter. Prosecution and persecution for private utterances will become a more and more common public display. Woe be to us when all speech becomes public speech. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 447 and 77 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Logan Pemberton. We're glad to have you with us as we come to you live from the Larry Netherton Studios here in Breckenridge Hall. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio is provided in part by Kentucky Wine, celebrating Kentucky commercial wineries that date back to 1799. Kentucky Wine blends history and heritage with modern practices. The Drink KY app serves as a passport to local winemakers. Online at KentuckyWine.com.
It's game day for the Eagles. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Morehead State baseball team is about to begin action in its second NCAA regional in 4 years. Senior second baseman Braxton Morris and the 37 and 24 Eagles are in South Carolina for their regional opener at 6 o'clock against the nation's fifth-ranked team, Clemson.
We're not scared of anybody. We're ready. We're amped. And, you know, we believe we can play with anybody in the country. We also know that, you know, we have to do the right, you know, play the right way and do, you know, all the little things. You know, we can't just show up and, you know, try to play like somebody we're not and do things that we don't do. But we are confident and, you know, we're ready to go.
Depending on tonight's result, MSU will face either St. John's or Vanderbilt in the double elimination event. Those two teams will be playing in the other first-round game in the Clemson Regional. After being rained out last night in Grayson, Rowan County, and Greenup County will try again this evening to decide the 16th Region Baseball Tournament's championship. Rowan coach Scott Collins' team is 30-6 this season. Collins credits much of that success to the Vikings' simple approach to every challenge they face.
We just talk every day, do what we do. I mean, it sounds simple, but, you know, it's honestly the big thing for us. We don't want to be anybody else. We don't try to be anybody else. You know, we just go out and do what we know how to do and be prepared for it the best we can. So, you know, the kids have handled everything well. You know, they're just going out and playing good baseball right now.
For tradition-rich Greenup County, Coach Greg Logan says his ball club is on a mission to meet some key preseason objectives, winning the 16th region crown, then a state title.
That's been our goal from day one. That's going to be our goal every year, and we're not going to be satisfied unless we achieve, you know, a lot of those goals there.
Greenup County enters tonight's battle with Rowan with a 35-5 record. The Cincinnati Reds are in San Diego tonight at 10:10 to start a weekend series against the Padres. Manager Jim Riggleman hopes the bats of corner outfielders Adam Duvall and Scott Schebler are starting to come around. Duvall had a grand slam and Schebler a two-run homer in the Reds' 7-4 win yesterday over Arizona.
You know, six RBIs from our corner outfielders, and you know, you never can ask for that, but your corner outfielders have got to be productive offensive players, and both of them are heating up a little bit.
3-6 Tyler Molly pitches tonight for the Reds. Rookie Walker Lockhart makes his first big league start for the Padres, who've won three straight. Washington has activated reliever Ryan Madsen from its 10-day disabled list. He had a pectoral strain. Madsen's 1-2 with three saves and a 4.49 ERA. And major league teams spent a record $289 million on players selected during last year's amateur draft, an increase of 7.2% from 2016. For a sixth straight year, no team exceeded its signing pool by more than 5%, the level that triggers the loss of a first-round draft pick the following June. According to ESPN, Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has donated money and support to the Portland Diamond Project, whose mission is to bring Major League Baseball to the city. An exact dollar amount has not yet been released on the donation. Earlier this month, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said he would like to expand by two teams from the 30 active now to 32, citing Montreal, Charlotte, and Mexico City as early favorites. Cincinnati Bengals veteran says he's adjusting to life under the team's new defensive coordinator. Safety George Iloka says, while Terrell Austin's scheme has many similarities to what the Bengals have done in recent years, there are some key differences.
He has some wrinkles and things that he's going to change in there. He'll have his flavor to it. It'll be his own. But I've been in the system for 6 years, and there's certain things he wants done differently. So for me also, being that hardwired train a certain way, I got to kind of untrain myself and then relearn it how he wants it. So that's another thing I'm focusing on, because if everybody does it how he wants it to be done, we'll be successful.
The Bengals have been going through their OTAs at Paul Brown Stadium. They'll start training camp next month. The Cleveland Browns are working on getting tough this offseason after going 0-16 last season. The team has enlisted help from UFC Hall of Famer Chuck Liddell. The MMA fighter is working with the team on body-to-body contact and physical manipulation of their opponents. Liddell, who is the former light heavyweight champion, tells the team that to win, they have to fight. Also from Cleveland, head coach Hugh Jackson is preparing to take his dip for the Browns' sunken season. Jackson is scheduled to jump into Lake Erie today, fulfilling the promise that he made last year as the Browns were stumbling to their 0-16 record. And Green Bay Packers star QB Aaron Rodgers wants more control in his potential extension with the program. Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network reported Rodgers is pushing for contract options that would give him an opportunity to renegotiate if QB salaries continue to skyrocket, also giving him an option to opt out of the contract. Five former Houston Texans cheerleaders are suing the NFL, alleging the team failed to fully compensate them as required by law, and subjected them to a hostile work environment in which they were harassed, intimidated, and forced to live in fear. The lawsuit was filed today in a Houston federal court. Prominent women's rights attorney Gloria Alred, who's representing the cheerleaders, said the women were not fully paid for their long hours of work because of their gender. Game 2 action of the NBA Finals starts tomorrow after a 124-114 win last night in Oakland. Warriors coach Steve Kerr says even though his team wasn't at 100%, they still won.
I didn't think we were great. I didn't think we were bad. I think we can play better, but it's not like we came out there and stunk it up. You know, we played hard and got after it. We had a really good third quarter. So, you know, we'll look at the tape and figure out what we're going to try to do next, but one step at a time. We got the win. We're thrilled with that, and we'll see what happens next.
Game 2 of the NBA Finals tips off at 8 tomorrow night. And lastly in sports, the NBA's Philadelphia 76ers have given coach Brett Brown a 3-year contract extension. Brown led the Sixers from 10 wins a year ago to 52 victories and a number 3 seeding in the Eastern Conference playoffs this season. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host a father-child camp on June 9th, an Eagle Day camp June 11th through the 14th, and Morehead State Team Camp June 22nd through the 24th. You can get more information by calling the men's basketball office at 783-5140 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your financial markets report for WMKY. A stronger-than-expected jobs report pushed stocks higher, and at 3 o'clock, the Dow Industrials showed a gain of 223.88 at 24,639.72. The S&P 500 was up 28.65 at 2733.92, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 1.4%. It was the strongest of the three major indices, with a gain of 105.62 at 7547.74. As mentioned, you had a very strong jobs report this morning, as for the month of May, the U.S. economy added 223,000 jobs, and economists polled going into the report expected a gain of 188,000. Average hourly earnings rose 0.3% last month, and the unemployment rate ticked down to 3.8%. The NASDAQ, of course, being very strong today, and its strength today is really coming from the FANG stocks primarily, such as Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet, with all of these stocks rising very sharply. Also, Apple is up today more than 1.5%, and it is trading near an all-time high. Treasury bond yields jumped with a report today, with a benchmark treasury yield or benchmark 10-year treasury yield at 2.89%, and the 2-year yield rose to 2.47%. And this helped bank stocks out, as all of your major banks, such as J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Bank of America, were up today at least 1.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers are Dow, DuPont, and Intel, while your worst performers are Chevron and GE. In the S&P 500, the best performers are Nektar Therapeutics and Michael Kors, and the worst performers are Concho Resources and Cimarex Energy. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 38 cents at 78.10, CSX up 61 cents at 65.26, AEP down $1.14 at 66.81, AK Steel up 14 cents at 4.66, Marathon Petroleum up 2.46 at 81.51, and Community Trust Bank was up 40 cents, finishing at 51.45. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy skies with a low around 64 and a chance of precipitation at 30%. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers before 9 a.m., partly sunny skies with a high near 82. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 64. Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 81.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, Rowan County Schools and St. Clair Healthcare will offer free sports physicals to students in grades 2 through 12 at the Rowan County Senior High School from 8 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. tomorrow, Saturday, June 2nd. Students under the age of 18 must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. More information is available by calling 784-8928.
The annual Rowan County Distinguished Young Woman Program will be held at 6 p.m. on Monday, June 4th in Button Auditorium on the campus of Morehead State University. The program awards scholarships to high school junior girls in the areas of scholastics, interview, talent, fitness, and self-expression. Tickets are $7 at the door.
That's going to do it today for Mountain Edition. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Jacob Lindbergh, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Chaz Jenkins, Cody Robinson, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Karen Czar, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from commentator John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead and translator W202 BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.